Hey listeners, welcome to Trust in Tech, where we have conversations with people helping the internet and society thrive. Hi, Talha.
Hey, Alice.
This is our holiday special. We've never done an episode like this before where you and I are just talking.
Yeah, this is a little...
Isn't it weird?
Yeah, it's weird. It's fun, but it's weird.
We'll have to see what people think of it. Maybe they're like, please go back to the old format.
Yeah, maybe they don't like hearing my voice 50% of the time. So we'll see.
This is your idea though, and I think it's a really good one. I'm excited to chat with you. I am very over caffeinated, and that should make things really fun. I'll be really enthusiastic about everything.
Yeah, I mean, slightly under caffeinated, but I have my mug ready to go. So don't worry about that. And also clarification, not my idea. Sahar's idea.
Sahar's idea. He's full of ideas. All right.
Yes. So here we are. And I was like, huh, sounds like a good idea. Let me ask Alice. And here we are.
What do you celebrate this holiday season?
Pseudo Christmas, I guess. Because it's like, Jesus is still like a prophet for Muslims. But it's more like my parents' anniversary is on the solstice. And then my dad's birthday is today. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's just like back to back.
And the new year.
And the new year. Don't forget the new year. So it's a fun time.
Yeah, I like this. It's a holiday special with a Muslim and a Buddhist, which is
yeah. Perfect. Yeah, what about you? What are you celebrating this season?
Similarly casual. So my family's Buddhist, and we celebrate each solstice every season. I was raised as a Tibetan Buddhist, and when this form of Tibetan Buddhism was brought to the West, they realized they needed a like consumerist, child-focused holiday in December because of Christmas. And so there's this made-up version of the winter solstice, which is called Children's Day, and literally you get presents under the shrine on the winter solstice, which is always the same week as Christmas. So that's what we do with my son, but we also loosely, you know, our family celebrate, like extended family celebrates Christmas, so we also do Christmas.
Yeah, I wonder, like,
aunts and uncles and stuff.
I wonder how much of like religion is like sticky, generally speaking, just because like kids get presents and then you want your kids to get presents too. And I don't know, it's something that, yeah, I guess even for like Eid we'll get like presents, but I'm not sure that was very common before coming to the West. Kind of like a trust and safety problem, you know, you add some sprinkle of this, sprinkle of that, maybe make a trade off or two and call it a day.
Yeah. Exactly. Thanks for bringing us back on topic.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe, I guess. I don't really have a topic for this. We were just discussing. We were like, what's, like, I don't know. Like, we're like, which questions? Like, we got, like, a bunch of questions, and some of them are pretty difficult to answer on a holiday special. Like, design your own social media. And I'm like, I'm not doing an interview right now.
Yeah, we got some really, really good questions, and they're really hard, and some of them I'm completely unprepared to answer. Some of them I don't know, maybe I have a couple takes or two, but I kind of like the idea of crowdsourcing questions, and then I don't know if this is a fun episode for people. Maybe sometimes we have special episodes where we ask questions from a bunch of people, and then if we don't know the answer or we don't have an opinion, we find somebody who does and bring them on for a short little answer or something. That could be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Or as Alex said, right, maybe just record their answer in an AI-generated voice and go from there.
Yeah.
So where do you want to take this? I was just thinking, like, we recap our years, like the highs, the lows, see what's going on. I don't know. And then we'll open the questions at the end, the mailbag at the end. I don't know. What does that sound like?
That sounds good. I also have two really fun games for you that are a surprise, okay, that you don't know about.
I'm ready.
This is something that Google Bard and I came up with together. I
Okay.
tried ChatGPT 3.5. I no longer have like the free access from Red Teaming from OpenAI. I now have to pay like everybody else. I don't pay for four. So Bard is actually better than ChatGPT in the responses here, surprisingly. It's the
That
first
is
time that I've
surprising.
seen Bard be superior, and it was far superior. So this game is called Ban or Don't Ban. And I am going to give you a word or a phrase or a sentence, and you have to tell me if you were a content moderator on a major platform and or you, Talha, as your personal self with your own personal viewpoints, if you would ban it or not. You ready?
Boy.
The first word is eggnog. Would you ban it or not ban it?
Not Ben.
Why? Do you
It's
like
just a
it?
drink, right? Am I like thinking
Yeah,
something?
you're overthinking it. Do you like
Okay.
it? If you hate eggnog, then you can say, I hate eggnog, we should ban
It's fine. It's
it. Okay.
like.
Bard says it's harmless on its own, so same opinion as you. How and banning it might come across as overly cautious or even Grinch-like. However, the moderation around eggnog-related content might require some nuance, such as potentially offensive eggnog puns. Misinformation about eggnog, like claims about its health benefits or risks that should be fact-checked, and explicit or suggestive eggnog-related content. While eggnog can be festive, sexually suggestive imagery or content using it could be flagged for review depending on platform guidelines. It's so good.
Nice. Nice.
Okay, the next one is a stranger in a red suit who breaks into your house through the chimney and leaves things behind. They're mysterious packages and you don't know what they are. And he somehow knows everything that you've been doing, watches your every move, basically a stalker, and somehow knows whether you've been naughty or nice. Ban or don't ban.
Oh boy. Context. But is it Santa? Is it a stalker? Is it God? Like, this is, oh God, this is such a hard job.
Bard, Google Bard agrees with you and says it would depend on the specific execution, target audience, and potential impact. Striking a balance between freedom of expression and protecting user safety is crucial in sensitive cases. On the side of banning, harassment and stalking, violence and fear mongering, and exploitation and vulnerability, exploiting children's belief in Santa Claus for a horror narrative could be considered harmful and inappropriate.
Art is good.
However, under don't ban, fictional context, educational opportunities. So you could use talking about Santa to teach children about consent and responsible behavior, and creative interpretations. If it's being used for comedy or satire or other things, then it could be fine.
Yeah, Google Bard sounds like a pretty good classifier, so maybe we should use this.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Okay, I have one final one. This is
Okay.
one that you might not know about. So my family on my mother's side is Icelandic, and there's an Icelandic tradition of a Christmas cat. And if you don't get new clothes by Christmas Eve, then the cat will come and eat you. That is the tradition. So everybody has to get new clothes.
Got it. Got
Ban or don't ban.
it. This one's tough. Personally, like for any like okay, like the professional response here is this dope ban. But I'm just thinking like, huh, that's an interesting tradition. Would I wanna execute that tradition for myself? On one hand, I'm like, it's nice to be in like fresh items. But on the other hand, I'm like,
What if your family can't afford new clothes? Does
yeah,
the
that's
child then get eaten by the cat?
Yeah, it's I'm thinking on that end. I'm also thinking like it's so coincidental that it works out for like people that are trying to sell clothes.
It is consumerist. You're right. Yep.
So I don't ban, but personally, I don't think this would make it on my feed.
Apparently, also, and I didn't know this, but Google Bard told me this, so I'm going to have to do some fact checking. But Bard says that the tradition reinforces outdated gender roles with apparently girls needing new clothes, but not boys, which I
Ah,
didn't know.
okay.
So that's another reason to ban it.
Yeah, on the other hand, I do need new clothes, and this would be a good ju reason to justify
Yep.
my purchases.
How was your year, Talha? It was a lot.
Boy. Oh boy. For you as well?
Well, I know, I mean, yes, but I know your year was a lot.
Oh, my year was quite a bit. I think like everything aside, it was finally the year that my mom went back to Pakistan after 15 years hiatus. And like I can get into that story too, but that's like solid 5 to 10 minute story of just like the trials and tribulations making it back.
And
So that was sorry.
good.
Oh yeah,
Just
that
to
was great.
clarify,
That was
like,
great. Oh
made
please.
your year,
That was
even
great. Yeah.
though, yeah, that's
Yeah.
good.
So it's like, yeah, like she has some siblings she hadn't seen in 15 years. So just like a while getting back. And yeah, like sickness, kids, all that stuff, responsibilities combined just prevented. And here we are now, 2024. Don't have that issue again.
That's good.
Yeah. So
How
yeah,
about
that was the personal side. The professional side was a roller coaster.
I
Yeah, so started off fun employed. Got
That's
into
when you did this podcast. You're like, I have some time on my hands.
Fun Employed
I
is
can do
great. Fun
this.
Employed is like I got my severance slash seed money from Facebook to do a nice fun employment stint. And then around May, I was just like, okay, it's time to find a job. And that job ended up being a startup at Y Combinator, which was an experience, also known as hell on earth.
Why was it?
No, it's just the way that they like grind the startups there. It's just like
It's intense.
it's intense. It's intense. It's intense.
Yeah.
And it was a good experience. Learned a lot. Would do it again. We realized we weren't a good co-founder fit for each other, which was a little sad, I guess. And now I'm back on the job market, a little less fun employed, more unemployed, but looking for the next adventure to see where the next gig takes me.
Well, if you're listening to this, hire Talha. He's great. What jobs are you looking? What sort of roles are you looking for? Just in
Oh
case there's
God.
a hiring manager here, what's your pitch?
Yeah, I guess like engineering, maybe. So like anything that's like ML engineer, MLPM, that type of like niche. But I'm also open to like random things too. Like if you're like, oh, I need someone that's just gonna be a reporter on like, I don't know, Democracy or whatever. And I'm just listening to this random person that has experience as a technologist. Like, sure, like I'll apply. Like, yeah, I'm opening the sail and in the middle of the ocean and see where the winds take me.
That's a good attitude to have, for sure. I've never had a job that was exactly, well, yeah, I don't know. I jobs fall towards me because I'm open. I think that's the best way to be, not super rigid, and explore different opportunities, see what feels
Yeah, I
good.
think like there's this like common notion that jobs, like you have to apply for them, you have to be like super like tidy, you have to be super professional and everything. And the more I've been looking, or the more I've just like been in like the startup world and whatever, it really just comes down to like, are you someone I want to work with? And the bigger and stronger your network is, and the more you are a person I want to work with, or you want, like I am someone you want to work with, the more likely it is that you'll find a job. And maybe it doesn't hurt to have content out in the world either.
Yeah. Yeah, I could go on a whole Well, I guess I can go on a little rant about this because
Yes, please. I
it's
had my rant.
topical.
Your rant's turn. Yeah, it's time for your
I
rant.
mean, my big news of the year is I quit my job, and so
Whoa! I definitely didn't know this.
I'm also currently unemployed.
Unemployed or fun employed?
Fun employed. I'm fun
Yeah.
employed until end of January, beginning of February, when I start my new job. And so I've been casually looking for quite a while, and then more seriously looking for the last few months. And I don't know, I didn't apply to like a million places, maybe
I don't
50
even think
or
it's like useful to apply to a million. No one looks at online applications.
well, and especially at my like for what I do and my level of work, there's not that many positions. Like I've been head of multiple departments. And so at any company, there's only going to be one person who's head of the trust and safety department. And so, there's not that many companies around doing the sort of thing that I do. And so I don't know, I applied to 15 or 20 places, and then five or six different companies reached out to me. And of the places I cold applied to, one got back to me. So much better results by just networking and slowly putting out feelers, telling people I was open, talking to folks, saying, hey, if anything comes up, like, and you're interested in working together, let me know. I'm interested in talking. So yes, big plus one to just networking. That's always been how I've gotten jobs in tech.
Yeah, may or may not be a coincidence that the people that network end up with the podcast,
Well, yes. Turns out having a podcast and talking to a lot of people is helpful in your career as well. Who knew?
oh, this is like a hack.
A hack. Well, except that we shouldn't be giving that advice because then we'll have a bunch of competitors, right? Except
Yeah,
that
competitors in the podcast space.
in
Crazy.
our free hobby podcast that we make no
Yeah, that
money
would be
from
wild. Something that I'm
and
making so much money from. I'd be so scared if there were competitors.
Just to be clear, we have not made a penny. We have spent our own money on this thing. It's purely nonprofit, altruistic.
Altruistic, fun, hobby. Honestly, it keeps it like keeps it light too, so I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't want another job on top of my job.
Yeah.
And so that's the good thing about not trying to monetize something is like if you need to take a break for a little bit, which both of us have done over the last year, both of us have said, hey, I need a month or two to like focus on something else for a little bit. It's not that big of a deal because what's the worst that can happen? Nothing.
Yeah.
So.
I guess there's no angry customers in our Patreon saying that they're expecting an episode from us.
Yeah, just Sahar very gently saying, what's going
Please.
on with the
I
podcast, guys?
love the nudges.
Speaking of the podcast, like how is it? How do you feel now that we've been doing it a year and a little bit?
I feel the way you feel about this, which
How
is
do I feel?
actually, I don't know, but
How do
it'll
you think
probably be
I feel?
somewhat. Yeah, how will I know if how you feel if I don't know how I feel? But anyways, I think like it's been fun, right? Like it's been an excuse to talk to anyone I want to, at least in the TNS space, or sorry, integrity space, talk to. Learn what's going, and I've learned a lot too, right? Like most people or everyone on the show is an expert in something, and I definitely didn't know about it before I talked to them. And it's just like basically free tutoring for an hour every other week on something that's just like awesome, right? So I think
Mm-hmm.
It's been awesome on that end. It's just like the process itself is so fun. And then like the results are fun too, because then it's just like you get to see like I don't know if you felt this, but I felt like sometimes in the podcast someone would say something and then I would kind of pick it up in like the collective conscious like a few weeks later or like a week or two later and like just hear like the little like men not mentioned to the podcast in a while, but something like downstream of like something that we talked about in the podcast. And that's just so like gratifying to notice.
Yeah, I think a good example of that is our most popular episode, which was the one with the OpenAI folks talking about how LLMs can be used for safety and how they thought about safety. And that was, we were a little bit ahead of a lot of the online discourse around this topic. So they had been talking about it, and OpenAI had put out blog posts about it. And they were trying to get the word out a little bit. And there have been a few things, but then we recorded that podcast. It spread pretty quickly, and a lot of people listened to it and liked it. And then, in the last half of this year, I've seen more and more talk about AI safety, and it's becoming something that is, I think, now like a field, like a discipline that people do and think about and talk about. And obviously, there's been people who've been doing it for years, but I think we were a little ahead of the curve as far as like mainstream media and stuff goes with picking that stuff up. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And definitely before mainstream media, like we were, I don't know, months ahead before months ahead of like Wall Street Journal or whoever it is talking about AI safety, or like now the AI different AI factions, right, that have popped up. Are you accelerationist? Are you effective altruist? Are you not a non-test griot or whatever? It seems like we saw that factioning happen real time.
That brings us to a question from one of our listeners, Magda, who asks, how can one start a career in AI ethics without having a knowledge in computer science?
Yeah, I have no idea. Anyone that's asked people have asked me questions of like how to build a career in trust and safety, and it's just like I just give the worst answers because I don't have a good one. My answer was like, I don't know what to tell you. I got a CS degree for 4 years. I got a job in big tech. That's quote unquote what I was supposed to do. And then after, like at my senior year, I had somewhat of a realization, like I should probably do something good for society. And I ended up when choosing my Facebook team to choose an integrity team. And it's just the worst answer because I'm just like I as someone that has the technical background, I can't in good conscience advise you of what you should do with a non-technical background, but I can point you to folks that know what to do. I think you have a better answer for this than I do.
I mean, yes and no. So I don't have a technical background. I also don't work in a AI ethics. I've done AI ethics work. So at both Grindr and OkCupid, my last two roles, I was leading a cross-functional team of product engineering operations to implement machine learning for the first time at both companies. And part of that is thinking about ethics of it. Like, how do you organize it? How do you structure it? So at OkCupid, so it was years and years and years ago, I was a little, personally, I was a little less thoughtful about the ethical side of it. At Grindr, I was very intentional. Because as an industry, we've evolved more and we talk about these things more. And I wrote up an ethical framework and I shared it with a company and I tried to start conversations about it. And it was all kind of unofficial. Like it wasn't, my role wasn't AI ethicist. And there were lots of other people at the company who were thinking about those things as well. And so, I don't know if I have it. Advice either. I'm just sort of, I don't be a busybody in your job and talk about these things if nobody else is, or start the conversations or try to collect all of the stuff. I think the sad truth probably is that, similar to trust and safety, generally with like user-generated content, safety with AI-generated content is often an afterthought at a lot of companies. And the idea of a job that is AI ethicist sounds super cool. And in actuality, probably it's like part of a job of somebody who is trying to run around throwing buckets of water on fires and say, "Stop, stop, don't do that thing." And people are already running out the door. Like, I think a lot of it is sort of reactionary, and there's not too many companies that are being very, very thoughtful and proactive about this stuff yet. So I don't know how many
Yeah, I mean,
people actually
yeah,
have a career in AI ethics right now. Like, not very many.
yeah, I
That'll
mean,
change. That'll change,
it'll
but
change. It'll change
early
for sure.
days.
Yeah, and you also just gave me like, I guess an idea, but I guess like my thing would be to like just join a smaller company where there's more room for, like, if you have any role in a smaller company, they're always short-staffed, smaller growing company, and if you can just take up more responsibility, and if no one else is doing AI ethics, just do
Ta-da, now it's your
it.
job. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, exactly. Both companies I worked for were less than 200 people, so there's lots of room
Yeah, I
for
think you can
doing
find,
things in your spare time.
which is why I'm like kind of looking in that area too, like mid smaller to mid-sized company, as I'm just like looking to, once you get like the bigger the companies, the more you specialize. And I just feel like at some point, like when you're in big tech or whatever, like you just end up being like a gear, not even a cog in the machine, but like the tiniest of gears in the machine. And it's just like you just kind of lose a bigger picture of what's going on. And you don't understand, like, oh, this is the business side, this is the integrity side, this is how they clash. It's more like, this is your job, these are your responsibilities in the day, do them well. I guess like we kind of steered off like somewhat on like one of the listener questions, but we never went through what your year looked like.
Oh. Well, we sort of did. I quit my job, as I
Yeah, I
said
guess
that
that's part of
already.
it. Yeah, I guess that's part of it. Trials,
Yeah.
tribulations, things that you wish went well, or how like the podcast has changed your life. I don't know any of these questions.
Let's see. My year's been good. I've really valued the amount of, like we were talking about before, the amount of networking and talking to people, connecting with people that I've been able to do. I hope to do more of it in the future as part of what I was thinking about when thinking about what next job I want to take and what I want to do next with my career. And honestly, doing this project showed me how much I love help, like sharing information about trust and safety and having these bigger industry-wide conversations and being a quote unquote thought leader, and I don't know, just talking about stuff and being there and being around. I really, really love it. And so I'm making that part of my job and part of my career. And so, that's super exciting. So the podcast was like instrumental in helping me figure out what the next step is for me, which is really good. I wrote a bunch of blog posts and did a bunch of interviews and was on other people's podcasts and spoke at TrustCon. And yeah, I feel like very, very happy, very proud of how the last little bit has gone. So it's been good, but it's also feels very strange to be not in the dating industry anymore. like that's been part of my career, part of my life for the last 13 years. So it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to. But yeah, overall things have been good this year.
Yeah, I mean, still in trust and safety, right? So I
Oh,
think
yeah. Definitely
so
still
yeah,
trust and
you're
safety.
slightly pivoting, you know, like a little bit of a pivot. So
Yeah,
sure you'll be.
I'm moving from platform side to the vendor side. And I'll announce more next year when I start my job and
Stay
everything's,
tuned. Stay tuned.
yeah,
It's the
everything's
Trust in
started.
Tech. We'll get the information first.
Breaking news,
Yeah,
sure.
breaks.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of going off of that road, right? What has been the most surprising thing? Maybe, and this can be taken two ways. One is as an outcome of the podcast for you, or what's the most surprising thing that you've learned generally from the podcast?
That is a really hard question, Tala. I don't know that anything has been, I don't, maybe the most surprising thing or the least surprising kind of depends on how you look at it, but it's felt very slow and steady to me generally. We haven't gotten a ton of feedback from people about it, so it's kind of like talking into the void and hoping it lands. I haven't heard, people sort of know that we do it, but I haven't heard a ton from people. And because it's not like social media where you get comments and things, it's been kind of, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what people think about it really. So I think I expected to get more feedback or to have a more solid idea of what works and what doesn't, what resonates with people, what doesn't. I'm sure we could do some like polling or market analysis or something like that and figure it all out. And we probably should spend a little bit of time on that at the end of the year when we're both unemployed and have nothing else to do. But I think I was hoping to have a bit more of a strategy. I think we're, and I think it's fine. Like, it's fine, not to. We're regularly putting stuff out there. We regularly have people listening. That's all really good. So I think it's okay, but yeah.
Yeah, I think
That's not like one person said one thing on one episode that totally changed my mind on X topic. It's more sort of meta analysis
well,
of the whole experience.
I'll let you know something that I learned like relatively new, but like I was talking to Jeff Sahar recently, and around 30% of either new members or all of the members of the Integrity Institute found out some way about it through the podcast. So
Oh, really?
yeah,
That's cool. That's
that was
super
pretty cool to
cool.
learn. Yeah, that was, I guess that was surprising on my end. I was
Yeah.
like, oh, really? what about my voice let you hear? Thought it would run make you run away.
Well,
but
yeah.
yeah, and then I think like I think it's just like that, like I feel like it's not that surprising because I feel like it's a classic social media rule, right? Like 1% of people are the ones that comment. Or even if you look at like LinkedIn, right? Like the amount of impressions like a post that you're gonna get is like, I don't know, like 5,000. And then you look at the likes and it's like 50. And
And then you look at the comments and it's
like
three.
if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, I guess it just makes sense in the social media context that we just, unless we like force people to be like, give me feedback, please. Like, it's gonna be a little more involved.
Yeah.
And I guess like if we're really low, like looking for growth, I was thinking about this, and one is, do we want growth, right? Like, I'm not trying to build a media empire. But then number two is like, what's preventing us from people recommending this podcast to their friends? Right, because that's like the biggest way you're going to get growth is word of mouth. I guess that's something, that's a question I kind of want to explore in the new year. Is it because it's too niche? And if it's too, if the answer is it's too niche, I don't want to share this with my friends. Okay, then don't. I don't want to change the topic of the podcast just to like include a little more people. But if it's something simple like, oh, I like these type of episodes, but these types of episodes I wouldn't recommend to my friends. Then that's like actionable feedback to work with.
Yeah, we should do a poll.
Yeah, I
Let's
guess.
work on that.
Yeah, okay, there you go. To do for next year. Or for this year, I guess. I don't know. Unclear where the year starts and ends.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more short game for you. You ready?
Okay, please. Or do you want me to play the game instead, or?
Oh no, I'm having fun
Okay.
quizzing you.
Yeah, I'm on the
You
hot
should have
seat
come up with your own games if you wanted to
right
ask me some.
now.
This is
Okay.
called Would You Rather Content Moderation Edition.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Okay. This is especially funny because you haven't actually been a content moderator, so you can pretend if you were. Would you rather deal with a flurry of angry comments from fruitcake enthusiasts or wade through a sea of debate about the best eggnog recipe?
I would rather wait through the debate. I think those debates are fun to look at. But maybe I'm also biased because I haven't been a content moderator.
I'll also say all of these are very Christmas oriented. As I'm reading this,
Are you using one session?
I was using one session, but I said end of the year and holiday. I never specified Christmas, and it's not very multicultural because, as we said in the
Huh.
beginning, we got a Buddhist and a Muslim here, and it's all Christmas stuff. Like, where's the diversity in religion in these answers? There's nothing about New Year. It's all just Santa, eggnog. It's interesting. Okay, I'm gonna do another one. Would you rather spend all night filtering out spammy holiday ads or face a mountain of user complaints about offensive holiday memes?
I think
Both
the
of those sound awful.
offensive holiday memes.
That would be more interesting for you.
It'd be interesting because I just, it's more like it's like doom scrolling kind of, It's like, oh God, what's the worst that happened? Spam is very mundane. This would at least be like interesting.
Okay. All right, last one. Would you rather spend hours sifting through holiday recipe posts for potentially risky food handling practices, or let it be and hope that nobody gets sick?
Oh, I'm supposed to say the more responsible answer.
Yeah, because it's your job as a content moderator. What are you going to just slack
But
off on your job?
I think I'll just let it be on this one and see. Hope no one gets food
Well,
poisoned.
our platform's supposed to proactively recipe test every recipe that's ever
Depends on how big the platform.
posted.
I would argue if it's a non-skilled platform. Then maybe it should.
I guess it depends on whether the platform is specifically a recipe platform, too. Like if
Yeah.
somebody posts a random recipe on YouTube, I don't particularly expect YouTube
But
to
what if it's
fact
a
check it.
Facebook group, like with your whole like community, and you're bringing the food to a potluck, and someone posts a recipe there, then who is respons is the platform liable? Or is the person that
Well,
put the
Section
recipe liable?
230 would say that the platform's.
Yeah, that's a fun section. Yeah, I don't have any hot takes about that one. That one is just so hard to get into that I've let that one. No hot takes. That's all for the legal scholars to figure out.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Yeah. Well, this
Thank
is
you for
a
playing
fun
my
game.
games.
Thank you for the games. Those were fun.
Should we look at some more questions from the audience? See if I
Yes,
can
yes.
find some good ones.
Oh, I have a question for you right now. Is what topic do you want to discuss more next year?
Topics that I enjoy the most are the kind of meta conversations either around career and what is the experience of being an integrity worker or working in trust and safety, and how can we support people who are doing this work or help people think about what's next for them? That's one thing I really like talking about. The other thing I really like talking about is the sort of how to think about social media and trust and safety and integrity in a proactive, positive, pro-social way, like how to design positive interactions and things that are helping marginalized communities and helping make the internet like a good place for people to connect. Those kinds of big, like, how do we solve society's problems through trust and safety policy making or whatever? I really like those. So yeah, I think those are the ones that I'd like to talk more about, because those are the things that I personally get really fired up about. How about you?
Yeah, and that reminds me, like, I was just going through Rick Rubin's book, and that's the thing is like about this podcast, right? Like, is it a form of our art, or is it, I guess it's not a business because we don't make money, but I guess in a certain way, we're the Integrity Institute's like podcast too, right? So we're helping the Integrity Institute grow. So is it a business on that end? And I think like that's when you're making something that's art, you're basically like trying to channel something like that really speaks to you, like personally, right? Whereas in business, you're trying to help someone else. And yeah, I don't know. It's just been fun to chew on. Like, do I feel like is this podcast like that's something that's good for my career, or do I feel like it's a form of creative expression? Like, I don't know. Like, long form audio for me is just a form of creative expression, and that just might be because like the house I grew up in was like my mom would be on the phone in like the family room in the middle, and like she's talking on the phone, and it's just everyone in the house hears these stories. And I don't know if it's a cop out to say that a long form audio is creative expression, but if it's something that I feel like is like bringing something out from like my soul, then it feels like creative expression.
Totally.
I don't know where I was going with this.
No, I love that you talk about that book, because I just bought it for my mother and I haven't read it yet, but I gave it to her, it with instructions to give it back to me so that I can read it after her. So I'll tell you once I've read it. I feel like when I interview people for this podcast, I just kind of give them a platform and let them steer the conversation. And I'll prompt every once in a while. But really, when we have guests on the show, at least for me, I just say, like, what are you passionate about? What do you want to rant about? What is a project you just did that you want to talk about? We'll give you a platform, we'll help format it and put it out there. And my philosophy is, somebody's really passionate about what they're doing, it's worth listening to. And I think that's been true. What I haven't done, which I think is what you're talking about, is think about what is the story that I personally want to tell? What are the things that I personally want to put out into the world? I've kind of been a facilitator for other people to do that and haven't really thought about it or done it so much for myself. But yeah, maybe, this is like one of these things where when you have another full-time job, it's very hard to think about the narrative storytelling part of doing a podcast, because it's about 10 times more work. But
For sure.
I come from a documentary background. Like, I've done documentary audio stories before. I've done documentary films. I know how to do all of those things. I was trained in it. I did it for years and years and years professionally. I just don't know what I would do and when I would have enough time to do it.
Yeah, I
But
think like,
you have me thinking. I think we can make this into anything we want, so we
Yeah,
should
for sure. It's our
continue.
canvas, right? And I think
Yeah.
like, yeah, and most of the time I let the guests like speak and really try to give them their voice. But I think it's like in the aggregation of like maybe like all the podcasts. Like I think I try to put in like my like tidbits in there more than you do, at least, which is for better or for worse. I don't know. Unclear.
I do.
Unclear.
I've been known to go on a rant or two, but yeah.
And unless someone tells us to stop, like I'll
Yeah.
keep going.
Well, that's a good thing about not getting any feedback, is nobody tells
Yeah.
you to stop either.
That
You can just keep going.
means they like it enough that they don't care,
Yeah.
right?
Totally. Okay, we have about a million more. We don't have a million more. We have at least like 20 questions.
All right, let's
But
run through them.
some of them are really, let's go really fast and say, do we have an answer, yes or no?
Okay.
I'll start at the top. What are the best trust and safety puns or memes of 2023? From
Oh,
Tom. Hi, Tom.
hi, Tom. I just feel like the classic, this is fine.
Yeah, I that's how I responded to him. I said, I think it's just always going to be the this is fine dog. I dressed up as him for Halloween. That was my Halloween costume. I can put a picture of it in the show notes. It's just always this is fine.
And it is
Yeah.
fine. Okay, my turn. From Itchia, I want to hear all about Trust and Tech hot takes of the year, or maybe reactions to hot takes, please. Maybe both.
Don't have any hot takes. I'm not really a hot takes kind of person, but yeah, this it's not really a hot takes podcast. We're not
Yeah,
like
that's what
journalists with hot takes on things. I don't know.
I feel. I'm just like, I think my job is more to like platform other people than have my own hot takes, or at least in this case. Or maybe I'm just not like confrontational enough to have hot takes. Who knows? Maybe it's a little bit of both. Beats me.
Oh, it's my turn. Andrew says, if you could design your own platform, what would it be like?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like this is a whole research question, and like there's many people working on this problem. So I'd like butcher it if I were doing this. I think like my honest to God take here is like more walkable cities and l less time on the internet. So, but that might not be the answer people are looking for.
I also have an answer that's not an answer. 21 years ago, when I was 19, I started my own platform. It was a very old school message board where people talked about trading punk and hardcore vinyl records. And for a while, there were like a couple hundred people on it, and it was very niche, and we all knew each other and were friends in real life and saw each other at shows, and it was amazing. It was like such a good community. Is exactly what the internet should be for. I was like, this is great. Then it grew and it grew and it grew, and people who I didn't know were on there, and I got trolled and harassed and bullied and had such an awful issue trying to figure out how to enforce rules without proper tooling. And eventually I quit and said never again. And then I ended up in trust and safety. Again, after a brief interlude in filmaking. But
That
if I could design my own platform, I would go back to the very early days of that old school message board before it got ruined, and would just enjoy the like super small niche community vibes. That's what I would
was
do.
really
I
interesting.
wouldn't want to make a big worldwide everything for everybody platform. I'd want something that's just like, how people use Discord servers now, I guess. Like just a small group of friends.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like that's the thing I was like thinking, chewing on the other day is what does the internet look without scale? What does that mean?
Yeah. Is scale the problem? I don't know.
And I think like that also like just goes into like I guess another one of my hot takes is just like
Oh, so you do have hot takes.
okay, yeah, I have many. Yeah, another one of the hot takes, which and I maybe it's not so hot for the listeners here, but it's just like I don't know. I think like a lot of the root issues that can be that like show up in a person's like daily life is not necessarily like it's not necessarily like the ones that make it on media, but it's just like the mundane dealing with scaled corporations and dealing with abstractions and like just not seeing a human. For example, it's like okay, like I have to call someone at AT&T. It goes through like five different routes, and then maybe some I'll get a customer service agent there. It's like daily I'm fighting against the abstraction complex, for lack of a better. And at that point, you just feel like you're a cog in the machine. And I think there's like some type of like moral injury there, whatever moral injury means. But yeah, I guess that's not really an answer for if you could design your own platform, but
No.
take nonetheless. Okay, my turn. What was the most unique TNS news from a smaller company you saw this year?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something unique. I'm sure there were some, but nothing comes to mind immediately. Do you have any?
Is OpenAI small? Is like, are any of these companies like,
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, that would win it is, yeah, Dave talking about using LLMs for content moderation. That's probably the most unique TNS news, and OpenAI is pretty small then.
Yeah, there were like what, 300 people at that point? Something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah, I guess they were small. I don't know. Is there anything like, is there any small social media platform that was like doing something super pioneering, trust and safety wise, that I can think of?
There's a few, like there's definitely some good conversations around gender, sexuality, nudity, sex positivity coming, not only from Grindr, but like Discord had some good policies on gender. We saw Twitch just expand their sexual content policies. There's been a lot of back and forth, especially with smaller companies around how draconian to be around people's gender and sexuality expression. You saw X, formerly Twitter, reverse its policy on dead naming and misgendering people. So that was a bummer. But yeah, I like that's where I've been paying a lot of attention because I care about it personally. And that's something that isn't fully, it's not the same across the board for all social media companies. Each one is a little bit different. So that's been interesting to follow.
It's unique, I guess. So
Yeah,
there you
TBD.
go. There you go, Alex.
Let's see. We sort of talked about policy, trust and safety. What is on your trust and safety industry trend wish list for 2024?
If someone could like make some type of Drake equation equivalent, and what by that what I mean is like make some type of financial model that is somewhat generalizable, that every dollar spent in trusted safety leads to X amount of dollars saved in the long term.
Yeah, so we don't have to keep having the same
Yeah.
conversation about how trust and safety is not a cost center.
Yes. If someone could
Yes.
solve that problem for me, or if someone actually wants to work on that problem with me, happy to collaborate. It's a very difficult, like the reason that it hasn't been solved is very difficult. But I think it's, and then you can have a very nuanced discussion with companies and be like, okay, look, if you cut the cost of your trust and safety department right now, you'll be fine. But in the long term, in like X, like 3 or 4 years, then these problems will explode. And this is why these problems will explode. And just like some type of, a part of me feels like it's not part of tractable to make like one form, one equation that does it. But another part of me is like, if you make enough assumptions, then at least you can have some type of theoretical basis to make that argument, at least.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Okay. Do you want to answer this too, or should I go to the next one?
Oh, yeah, your answer. I'm not going to top your answer. We'll just leave it with yours.
Thanks, I think. Okay, let's see what's next for you. Oh, this one's fun for you because you're red teaming OpenAI. If you could make every company red team one thing, what would it be?
Only one thing. You have to red team
That's the
everything. That's
question.
the
That's the
whole
question.
point. I think the good thing about red teaming is that it pulls out edge cases and safety issues that people might not have otherwise thought of. Like you have a team of people who hopefully are diverse, hopefully come from different perspectives and ideas, and are testing for different things and finding all the stuff that hasn't been caught yet. So the whole point of it is, you know, to find all those edge cases. So I don't know if you can say like red team for a certain policy. This is the year of 2024 is going to be the year of elections and elections with generative AI, which is a combination that we've never seen before. So I think that's the thing that everybody should be most concerned about because it's not just are your feelings hurt by things on the internet that you shouldn't, you know, have seen or worse. It's actual real life consequences. Like the politicians that we elect are changing people's lives and making life or death decisions about their constituents and changing whether our planet burns or whether people go to war or whether people have bodily autonomy or any number of other really important things. And so I think there's not much that's more important than democracy and fairness with elections and in election integrity. And so that's the thing that everybody should be thinking about this year.
Yeah, I think that's like big plus one to that is that's 2024 is going to be fun on that end. And I think like just even just to generalize it like a little bit, I would just say how susceptible is your platform to information operations? If someone if a coordinated group of actors or even at this point one person can do it wants to influence a significant portion of the population, how do you prevent that?
All right, final question. If you could wave a magic wand before the end of the year, what radical change would you make for safety on major platforms? These are all from Alex. Thanks, Alex. You had really good questions.
Yeah, really intense ones. If you could meet wave a magic wand, I guess it just kind of ties back to what you just said of influence operations. Actually, no. Even I'll give a better I'll give a different answer. Is platforms are not short-term engagement based. Oh, I got an even better answer. It should be illegal for companies to just throw on short form video, short form content onto their platform without giving you the option to disable it. I think YouTube should not be able to make YouTube, it should not be allowed to like add a slot machine to their platform without allowing the user to ban it. I think it's a violation of one, like morals. And then two, I think it's a violation, it's like an anti trust thing as well. It's just I just don't think it's good for, I think I should have the option as a consumer whether I want a gambling machine on my phone or not. And it shouldn't be a binary decision of whether I have YouTube with shorts or no YouTube at all.
By shorts, do you mean algorithmically recommended, not people that you're following, but like the platform is recommending short form video to you from people who you don't necessarily
I mean,
follow?
that's, and even I would say
Or is
like
it
people
any short form video, even people who you
I would even say any short form. I just don't think like, I mean,
don't
I
like? Yeah.
personally don't want to have like feel 20 different emotions in the span of 1 minute. And I should have the option to be able to resist that temptation.
Yep. That's a good one. Because not every platform, but lots of platforms are going to this model now because it's so compelling.
Addicting.
There's
Yeah. Okay.
another hot take. You said you had no hot takes. I've heard at least three from you so far. So that's good.
Yeah, I guess. Do you have any like closing thoughts of a 2024, some hopes, wishes, New Year's resolutions?
Ooh. New Year's resolutions. I don't have any New Year's resolutions. I probably should think about it. I don't like to set resolutions. I like to set intentions, which, is very slightly different. I think a resolution is too rigid, and I'm not a very rigid person. I generally like to be flexible and go with the flow on things. And so the idea of like resolution, or I'm only going to do this, or I'm not going to do this, just feels unrealistic to me. As for what I hope from next year, I hope to somehow figure out what people in our industry need or want and to help give it to them. And I don't mean like a physical product or like actual service or anything like that. I mean, like emotionally, what do people working in integrity and trust and safety need? Like, what kind of support do people need? What do people need to hear to keep them feeling positive? And next year is going to be hard, really, 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 really hard. And so I'm on a mission to figure out how to make it less hard for people. But I don't know what that is.
My answer is much worse than that, so I think we can end there.
No, I mean, that was a nice cop-out answer for me where I sound really altruistic and like generous and cool, and really it's because I don't have my own life figured out and I don't have any specific goals. I want to do great at my next job. But otherwise I'm like, I just want to help people. You say that and then suddenly you get a pass for everything. So what's yours?
Yeah. I guess, like, I don't know. Intentions is interesting. I kind of like that. Resolutions for trust and safety. Not entirely sure. Maybe, yeah, not sure. Maybe more be more intentional about the podcast of what do our listeners want to hear? I don't know. Something like that. Yeah, that's it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we should definitely do this more often. This is
It's
nice.
good. Well, we'll see if people want to listen to an hour plus of our hot takes.
Or
But
lack thereof, yeah.
yeah, but I had a lot of fun. I think there is an opportunity to do more casual, chatty episodes and not just like serious interview format things. But
Yeah, but
what is
that's
it,
part of the
the
thing too,
meat of
right?
that? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is it's like, do we want to put it under the same like podcast quote unquote brand, right? And it's just like, or is it just like experiments, right? Like it's like, I don't know. Like this is just so unclear to me. So I guess like this is my like little spiel for like, hey, if you have ideas or if you like these episodes or like other types of episodes, ping us, let us know. LinkedIn, Slack, email.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Or we'll keep recording unhinged AI generated pop quizzes and say that we don't have hot takes and then list a million of them. You're
That's an
welcome.
op
Happy
That's an option.
holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, Taha. It's been super fun.
Thanks, Alice. Appreciate this. Appreciate all that you do. And to another year.
To another year. If you enjoyed this conversation, please share this episode with your friends. It helps us continue making more episodes for you. Special thanks to everyone at the Integrity Institute for their continued support.